Well, Fast Walker is a code word created by NORAD. That's the North American Air Defense Command. We hear to classify UFOs, unidentified flying objects, which approach our Earth from space and enter our atmosphere. It's been reported that from its subterranean facility deep inside Cheyenne Mountain, Colorado, the Air Force NORAD facility tracks a rough average of 500 of these fast walkers each year. We'll be back in a moment with our special guest, Robert Miles, and throughout the evening, beginning next half hour, we're going to be bringing in Paula Harris, Alfred Rebra, Dr. Scala, Michael Scala, Elliot Maynard, and Anthony T. Miles to talk about different episodes as well. That all next on Coast to Coast AM. Robert Miles, he's an experienced author, screenwriter, producer, director, cameraman with more than a 35-year track record of successfully doing business with a number of America's largest, most prestigious entertainment and business corporations. Safe Space, his most recent science fiction novel, which is based upon Robert's own personal extraterrestrial experience. And for more than 22 years, Robert was the president of Miles & Associates, which was an advertising agency, an avid adventurer. Robert designed and built 4 sailing vessels, and he's been to Hawaii, Baja, Mexico, Honduras, and he's our special guest tonight on Coast to Coast. Hello, Robert. How are you?
Hey, George. Thank you for having me on. Great show.
Likewise. Oh, you have done a marvelous job with Fast Walkers. I want to talk with you about all that. These guests that we'll be bringing in starting next half hour with you, a great assortment. How did you, a person who really has a very strong background in entertainment, in science fiction writing, in advertising, how did you get into this field, the field that we're talking about tonight of ufology?
Well, it takes me back into the early 60s and on into the early 70s when I was building a boat and sailing my boat down the California coastline and then on over to Hawaii. And What occurred to me, George, was that I had the most incredible life-changing experience when I was aboard that ship in Honolulu at the Alawai Yacht Harbor. And I had just sold the ship. I had been aboard the vessel for about 2.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I had just about done everything you could do in the Hawaiian Islands, sailed to the different islands, met great people, lots of skin diving, surfing, partying, that kind of thing. And our plans to actually sail around the world were beginning to fade with me. And I decided it really wasn't what I wanted to do, and I made a decision to sell the boat. And when I sold the boat, the morning we were to deliver it, I'm an early riser. I'm used to the 4 o'clock watch. I love that early morning watch. And so I woke up early. I went in, I got dressed, went out to the main salon kitchen, got at the galley and made some coffee, went back mm-hmm. to my bunk. And sitting there, sitting against the back of the headboard, looking out through this beautiful skylight at the breaking day. And then suddenly the most incredible experience happened to me. The whole room began to like tingle and sparkle, and this feeling of energy seemed to engulf me. And this beautiful woman materialized in my stateroom right beside my bed.
This sounds like a dream come true, Robert.
Yeah, and that's what I thought it was. You know, I thought it was a dream or a hallucination, or I felt like it just couldn't be possibly happening. And I looked at her, and you know, she when she was in my presence, this incredible energy was just radiating through my entire being. And I said, this can't be real. And she smiled at me and she said, well, it is. And I said, this can't be happening. You can't be real. And she said, I'm real. And I reached out and I physically touched her, George. I touched her. I felt her skin on her arms. And she smiled at me. And I said, well, why are you here? And she said that I'm here because we're friends. And we want you to come to a briefing. And what happened in the next few minutes was almost totally unexplainable in terms of what might be called conventional science, but with the amazing amazing clarity, she helped me to first teleport to New York City. And there I boarded a saucer and took a what Bob Dean likes to call the 29-cent tour of the local system. And I went to the planet Jupiter. And while I was there, I was given a briefing, and the planet was the most, it was the most incredible radiant energy. And all the time that I was on that planet, I felt that energy, and I communicated with these incredible beings, and they showed me, whether you might call them visions, maybe mm-hmm. they were holograms of the future, of what is happening on planet Earth. If we don't change our conditions and our ways, because we have the power to do that, George, as people, as individuals, we do not have to have a calamity, a catastrophic future. We can make that change. And I accepted a mission to come back to this planet, and through the medium of modern communications like your show, and through film and video and media, and thank heavens for the internet, to be able to bring a message of hope to planet Earth. I really believe that there's hope, what I want to communicate to the entire world out there is, don't despair. There's hope.
Now, you know, Robert, on this program, we don't judge. We like different views, different ideas, yours, of course, being one of them. But there will be some people who will hear you tonight and say, he went to Jupiter? Oh, tell us a little bit more. Why wasn't he crushed from the force, the gravity, the pressure when he was on that planet? It's uninhabitable. Tell us more. So how do you fight this when people are going to say, okay, this is one heck of a story. He is a great science fiction writer.
Well, first of all, I don't claim to be a technical expert, and that's why in Fast Walkers, the movie, I have created a vehicle for the people who are experts in their field, who've spent their lifetime doing this research and finding out the true answers. Give them a vehicle to speak. And tonight I just want to say that there's physicists out there. And as you know, there's so much talk now, and there's information about the multiverse. And you've guests on. And also I want to put a big hello to a couple of people, which is an old friend, Hal, and another one, Ingo, and tell them that we need their help. And we need some help with some of this explanation.
Sounds like you're talking about Mr. Putoff and Mr. Swan. Huh?
could be. But these guys have the answers. And to me, what I will say is this. I don't believe a lot of the things that I see and hear. I believe what I personally experienced. And I experienced this. And I know I don't have to believe it. I don't have to take it on faith. I personally experienced being there, and it's my view, and I was shown that there's regular interdimensional travel between this planet and the local system, not just the local system, George, but the entire universe out there, and there's an intergalactic federation, and there's lots of cultures visiting us, and I think Dr. Asala will address some of that, about the different species and the different life forms that are actually visiting us. And
tell me a little bit, Robert, though, about Jupiter itself. And what did it look like when you were there?
Oh, the most incredible place I've ever been. First of all, it was totally radiant. The most colorful fluorescence, oranges, lavenders, pinks, blues, the pastel colors and the energy, George, was just phenomenal. It just totally emanated and radiated through my being. The sea, it was like a silvery kind of, almost like mercury, but I'm not sure that it was. And I was there on the beach, had a kind of a sandy looking beach, except it was a little more coarse, and it was the buildings, the structures were low-profile structures. The people were very human-looking, and it was just the most incredible thing. And as I deboarded from the saucer itself, I looked back, and it was a beautiful, beautiful craft, probably three times the size of a 747, conventional saucer-shaped vehicle. And the planet itself was phenomenal.
At any point, did you see strange-looking beings like the grays that we've, have had described to us before? Or did they all look human-looking?
The individuals that I interacted with were human-looking. There's been many accounts and many witnesses that I've interviewed and talked to who do talk about the grays, but I have not personally experienced any kind of interaction with the grays in a physical form.
Now, when you say that they gave you information about Earth, about the solar system, about the universe, specifically good old planet Earth, what are some of the things you see? What are some of the things, Robert, they told you, and how far out did they tell you things?
Well, this is a subject that I've avoided talking about because, first of all, the story itself is very hard to accept. But tonight I will say this, that planet Earth faces the most cataclysmic and catastrophic changes in the near future. But it doesn't have to happen, but it is happening. You don't have to be a psychic. You don't have to go to Jupiter. All you have to do is hear the facts. And that's the reason that I've invited Alfred Maynard, PhD, to address some of the things that are already happening in our world. And in Al Gore's new documentary, he addresses what's really going on. But what I saw complete devastation. I saw the breakdown of the California coastline coming all the way back, like it's been predicted by, there's other individuals that have drawn maps and things. But I saw the water lines going all the way back to the mountains, and thank heavens we're up here in the beautiful Sholo, Arizona, USA, White Mountains, because we're at 6,500 feet, and the mountains go on up to 12,500, and we're clear up on the top of a rocky plateau. It's safe, and it's beautiful. During the deluge and the breakdown of society, humankind, if they don't change it, if they don't take action, and I mean individual action, one-on-one, we face a world, George, where there's no food, where the energy, the crushing effects of no electricity, no food, disease. I saw it all, and it's real, and it's coming at us like a freight train if we don't take action and do something about it.
Are they going to intercede here, Robert, or merely just tell us about it?
Oh, no. I think that there are those that want to help, but there's also those that want the planet to be destroyed. And in my book, Safe Space, I talk about the fact that the Federation plan was to send a starship and tilt the planet. And if that were to go ahead and occur, then the planet itself, every level of culture and civilization, just like it's happened before with Atlantis and the other civilizations, it would happen again. And there's those ETs and those beings who have every intention of allowing us to destroy ourselves and even helping us possibly.
Are there others in this Federation who have talked them out of this dastardly idea?
No, they haven't talked them out of it, but there is a group within the Federation, and I like to refer to them as friends, that are here to help us. And in my book, it's science fiction, but it's mixed with fact. I talk about the fact that there's part of the old priest, Axius. He influences my key guy, Regent Varsh, this Federation commander, to, instead of destroying the planet, to come here and help the people of Earth. And, I know that there's those that will help us. And that help is occurring right now. I think that what we're doing tonight is part of that help, George. I think you're part of the help. And I want to congratulate you on your new book. And I just want to tell you, thank you for being a light worker.
Well, you're welcome there. Now, Fast Walker, of course. Fast Walker's the name of your movie, your feature documentary, is a code word apparently created by NORAD. Explain that.
Well, first of all, there are in existence a lot of technology that the people of Earth do not have access to or even know about. And there's a set of satellites up there, the DSP satellite system, that is able to track these objects that are coming in, and you can call them alien vehicles, you can call them UFOs, call them whatever you want, but they come into our atmosphere, like you said, at least more than one a day. And those satellites send down information called Fast Walker files, and they're kept in NORAD. And there's people out there who know about this, and I invite those people to come on the air. I invite those people to call. You know who you are. You've already bought the Fast Walker tape, okay? And all I can say is that we need this information because the information is there, George, and these files and those objects have been seen. In the Fast Walker film, we show pictures and shadows right on the moon done by Al Tolman. And Al Tolman is a retired aerospace engineer, and his bio is right there on the website. Just click on his picture, and he's standing by. I think he's going to call in tonight. After all, George, Lisa asked that we get him on, and he's very sick.
I don't have his number.
Right.
We've got Paula Harris, Alfred. How does Alfred pronounce his last name? Webbery, is it?
Weber. Yeah.
And Dr. Michael Sala, obviously. Elliot Maynard, I have, and yes. Anthony Miles.
Right. And during the break, I'll give you Al's phone number if you'd like.
Okay. We'll do that. And Tommy will get that from you.
Right. Sure.
Well, is the government, you said they're aware, do they try to shoot down these craft at all?
We've had reports of that. Whether I don't know for certain that is the case, but I have heard numerous times in a lot of the interviews that there's a very, very good chance that that the government may announce that there is an alien threat and use the concept of extraterrestrials as a new enemy. And this is what we've got to get away from. We've got to get away from war and fear. And we have to move to hope, George. We have to move to where we as a planet are not killing each other.
If we were more of a peaceful planet, would the Federation start helping us and supporting us?
I'm certain that we would have great support and great help if we were not so destructive and so intent on this war and killing.
What did the craft look like that took you to Jupiter?
Oh, it was beautiful. When I boarded it, it was like walking into a circular lounge area, and I was seated and spoken to by what it would be a stewardess in an airplane, but in that it was just another nice-looking lady. There were several other people there in the lounge. I sat down in these nice seats. There were no seat belts. I looked out the window. And it was a porthole-like window, and I could see things going on. Next to me were a couple of digital readouts that were moving at different rates. One were Earth time, another one was Jupiter time. And as we took off, I could watch the Earth moving away from us, and there was no sense of acceleration at all. It was just terrific. And
how long in terms of Earth time do you think it took you to get there, Robert?
I would say it maybe was 6 or 7 minutes. It was very,
that
very
was
quick.
That was it? You must have gone through a wormhole?
I wish I knew the answer to that. I'll tell you, my sensation was it was just very pleasant. We were there, and then I walked down down through the gateway and down off of a very comfortable boarding ramp into the incredible energy of Jupiter, and man, it hit me.
That is something. Stay with us. Paula Harris joins us in the next half hour. Well, incredible story you're hearing from Robert Miles. His websites are linked up at coasttocoastam.com. And when we come right back, along with Robert, investigative researcher into the field of UFOs. Paula Harris joins us, so stand by for that. And welcome back, Robert Miles, our guest. Paula Harris with us as well. Let's go to Paula Harris. Paula, how are you?
Good. How are you? I haven't talked to you in a while.
No. Merry Christmas. Richard Merry C. Christmas. Hoagland, by the way, and Robin, give you your Christmas wishes as well. He sent me a personal message tonight, said, please make sure you tell her.
Well, I'm here in the United States this time. I'm here for Christmas in the state of Colorado, which is absolutely beautiful. And I'll be going back to Rome on January 15th.
Well, good for you. Now, give us a very brief synopsis of your background, Paula, for the many new listeners who join us here.
Okay. I'm an international investigative journalist. I work 9 months out of the year out of Rome, Italy, and 3 months here. And I've written a book called Connecting the Dots, Making Sense of the UFO Phenomenon, mainly interviewing military and intelligence people. And the person that I was the closest to after Dr. J. Allen Hynek is Colonel Philip Corso. So I have some insider information that really convinces me beyond a doubt of the reality of the UFO phenomenon and the insider information as to what not only will happen, but about the visitations that have been going on. And this is what I do, and it's on an international level. And they could go to my website, www.paolaharris.it, for more information.
Robert has been telling us about his far-out story about being taken to Jupiter. What's your thought of that?
Well, see, I didn't know this about Robert when we were doing the documentary. I'm totally fascinated by contactee reports. I'm not very good at it, but I love to listen to the reports because I've never had this kind of experience myself.
It's an incredible story of not only, I think, of mission, but of what could hit us all on planet Earth if we're not careful, which I guess leads us into your views on some of his work, Fast Walkers, for example, your reaction to these visitations.
Well, you know, the amazing thing about Fast Walkers, it's got some amazing people in it. And for the first time, Monsignor Corrado Balducci is in this documentary with me because a lot of it was filmed at Stephen Bassett's ex-conference in Washington, D.C. And we had Stephen Greer, Richard Boylan, Michael Sala, Robert Dean. And Monsignor Balducci is a very important testimony talking about the reality of the UFO phenomenon, that it is not against religion. And he also talks about the fact that he believes that these beings or these entities are here to help us. And I think that that's pretty historic in the film Fast Walkers. My own personal part of the film is talking about the fact that we have had a horrible time handling diversity on planet Earth. And I think we need to set some exopolitical protocols in for the future if we ever meet these people.
Paula, Robert is on the line with us, too. Why don't you chat with him a little bit about his trip to Jupiter? I'm very curious. You as a researcher and investigator, I want to listen to you a little bit.
Well, how are you?
Good, Robert. Great talking to you. You've done an absolutely beautiful job in the documentary. And the first time I heard about your story was inside the documentary, because as you were interviewing all of us, and there's so many of us in this film, you never talked about your experience. And I was really happy to hear that there is a group of people, so-called people and entities other than greys and reptilians, that are interested in our future and possibly in giving us a heads up on what might happen. Are they still communicating with you?
Boy, that's a good one, isn't it? you don't have to pull the punches. Yes, I do have periodic contact.
Oh, you do? Well, good, because this is very important for us. I mean, periodic contact, do you have, like, updates on the situation, or is it always the same?
Oh, Paula.
I know, I'm a tough person.
Always the investigator, right?
It's my job.
Yeah, I know. Hey, what I do want to say is that I want to thank you so much, and also Geraldo Baltucci, for being in the film and for being a part of the Fast Walker and communicating this message to the people of Earth. And what I will do is say that they are totally aware of what is going on here. In fact, to some degree, they're helping to orchestrate it. And yes, we will get periodic updates.
I have a little bit of trivia information for you, though, Robert and George. I don't know if you knew that Jacques Vallée wrote a book called Fast Walker some time ago. And he wrote it as science fiction also. It is a totally amazing book because it talks about extraterrestrial technology at Area 51.
Mm-hmm.
And it talks about this very thing. And so this idea of Fast Walkers, I had read the book 2 years ago, thanks to Richard Hoagland, who gives me all my books to read. And I had learned about this and the fact that sometimes through the medium of science fiction, we get science fact and we get some of the truth.
Well, there's no doubt about that. And in this particular case, this is a fascinating story that Robert brings us. And of course, all of your work, Paula, over the years that we have watched, witnessed, you know, adds so much credence and credibility to this entire field. You know, we've talked for years on Coast to Coast about disclosure, about revelations, when we're going to know something. It still hasn't come yet. I mean, are we going to be 110 years old before we find out?
Not at all, George. Let me address that. First of all, on the word fast walker or fast walkers, I think that what is happening is we're addressing a new term here, and this opens a doorway to a whole new mindset. It's like a gateway to a whole nother vibration, and we're getting what's called the fast walker effect. And one of the reasons I've asked these guests to come here tonight and ask you if you would to bring them on is that there's a new wave of cooperation that's sweeping through the disclosure movement, and I believe that we can have disclosure in 2007 if we work together. But we got to do it like A.J. Gavard did down there in Brazil. We have to demand of the government, we have to demand of the politicians that they come out of the woodwork on this, and we got to ask the question, have you been briefed? Right, Paula?
Well, that's one of the ways, but, you know, we've tried that, too. I personally have to tell you, I don't think it's going to come from the government. I think it's going to come from commitment of individuals. Individuals that will create a critical mass, and some of this has to be outside the country. Therefore, you're going to be speaking to Alfred Weber, who is really dedicated his life, and Michael Sala, who is from Australia, and people from outside the country who are also interested in this disclosure, because the idea that the United States government is the one that's going to be the ultimate disclosure vehicle, I don't buy into, because there's too much of a buy-in with the technology, and you know we're still in a fossil fuel type technology situation.
Sure.
Until that changes, there is not going to, for me, it will not happen this way. It'll happen around the world when all the researchers get together, when all the people get together, and it'll be an international kind of thing.
You're right, Paula. You're absolutely right.
Paula, tell me.
You have a lot of international influence in Fast Walkers. You have a lot of foreign people, and I'm very thrilled about that, because this is not only an American phenomenon. This is a phenomenon that takes place in Mexico, with Jaime Maussan's sightings in Mexico City. The sightings in Mexico City that Jaime Maussan has on his show, in A.J. Gavard in Brazil. We need to remember that this is an international effort, and this is where I'm coming from.
Well, there's no question. It is worldwide now, and you know, some of the reports that we're getting from outside of the United States are even more dramatic than anything we've even heard here in the States, Paula.
Oh, I know, because I think it's very difficult to hear anything in the States. Living in Europe, we get it on the you know, 6 o'clock news. I mean, they don't have any problem with it. We had Jaime Maussan's footage on major television. It went on for half an hour. Nobody had a problem with it. Things that should be shown on CNN. I don't think that there's any shock value in Europe about this. They're just used to seeing it. In South America, they're just used to having it. be like that. So, they're used to having these sightings in an everyday occurrence. I think it becomes more of a ridicule, a fringe subject in the United States for some reason. George, I don't know if you agree.
Yeah, I do in some respect. I'm also fascinated, though, Paula, in your work with Monsignor Balducci that you've known for such a long, long time. Is he still part of the Vatican, or have they shoved him out?
Now, what he told me personally, and he lives up the street from me. I live across from St. Peter's, so I see him often on an informal basis. You know, I have lunch with him and so forth. What he told me off the record is that, look, if they didn't want me to talk, they would tell me not to. He said they're very interested in this. Of course they're very interested in this. I think everybody's interested in what's coming out of the skies and who's visiting and so forth. And he said, basically, he said they're allowing me to talk about it in a way that kind of prepares the way. And I think that Robert agrees that what's happening, even with all the researchers, is we're paving the way. We're paving the way for disclosure. And Monsignor Balducci is a really outspoken proponent of a benign presence. He doesn't believe they are malevolent. He doesn't believe that they are evil aliens. He believes that they are that if they can get here, they're illuminated and they probably are not wasting their time fighting and having wars and having all the things that are happening on this planet on a very low level, because he thinks we're a very low-level species.
Well, can we assume then that he has been sanctioned by the Vatican in as much as they haven't told him to stop talking?
Yeah, I think so, George, but I think he's been sanctioned by the... I think people like Colonel Corso, Robert Dean, a lot of people have been sanctioned to break open some of this right in bits and pieces. And I think that, absolutely, your question is yes. And he's a very outspoken person. And on Fast Walkers, he has a beautiful presence. I'm sitting next to him doing the translation. He's speaking in Italian. But I think it's worth hearing what he has to say. And he also quotes the Bible. He thinks that there is evidence in the Bible that Christ is king of the universe. And he said the universe is made up of more than planet Earth.
Yeah. And I think it's important that we give kudos to Stephen Bassett and this whole X conference, because he was part of the of helping you and the people of Earth to have a chance to actually meet and see the Monsignor.
Yes, actually, this was Stephen Bassett's idea, but Stephen Bassett is an activist. He's that individual power that wants this out, and he's like a steamroller, like Stephen Greer also. And
well, so, you know, Bassett's a former lobbyist, ran for Congress from Maryland, did not win because he tried to push the UFO issue. I guess there are people who don't want to hear that from a politician, but there are a lot of people who do, too, but not enough to get Stephen elected. But he's been in this for a long, long time, Paula and Robert. I remember interviewing him when I was doing my local show in St. Louis back in 96, 97, and he was pushing. They were working on getting a full-page ad in the Wall Street Journal that was going to be signed by many top government officials with their names and talking about disclosure and what they knew, and it was going to tie in with Stephen Greer's disclosure project, and it just never happened. And it was unfortunate. And then the whole horrible situation with 9/11 occurred, and that kind of pushed everything to the back burner.
Right, as I'm sure you know, he did come up to our world premiere here in Sholo of the Fast Walker film in the theater, and Steve made that trip personally and was here for 4 days talking to people. And one of the things he wants to do is he wants to give a Fast Walker DVD to every single member of Congress and the president, vice president, his entire cabinet, and put it in their hands, and the hands of their staffer at least.
Well, Robert, we're going to lose Paula here in about 5 minutes before we bring in Alfred Weber with you next half hour. Paula, based on everything you've been working on recently, you've been on the program many times here with me, where's this all headed, Paula?
Well, a couple of things I wanted to say. First of all, I want to quote, and you must have gotten an email from him, Clark McClellan, ground crew astronaut, NASA, worked on the Apollo program.
I got it right here on my desk.
All right. Well, he is one of my star witnesses, and he said he saw fast walkers.
Let me read this email he sent to me, and with a subject view. It says, "Hello, George. I wish you and Paula and the Fast Walker program much success. During my many years at Cape Canaveral and the Kennedy Space Center, 58 to 1992, and working on or witnessing 634 launches to date, I observed many fast walkers during our manned and unmanned space missions. The Big Sur case in California is an example. NASA is not releasing information on these and other alien contacts for obvious reasons. A very tight control is kept to control such releases secret, again, for obvious reasons. Clark McClellan." Tell us a little bit about who he is, Paula.
Okay, Clark McClellan, I call him a ground crew astronaut because he was an engineer, but he was involved in all manned Apollo programs. I mean, right there when the astronauts came off, designed, pieces of the actual machinery, knows exactly, he was in the command center, he knows exactly what went on at NASA, knows exactly what the story is with the UFOs, because he was also part of an investigative team with VAPRO at the time. Clark has a blockbuster book that, if he ever would release it, would give a lot of detail on what happened with the UFOs. I mean, you and I and everybody know the UFOs are real. But when NASA doesn't talk about it, and astronauts like Edgar Mitchell and Gordon Cooper and Clark McClellan talk about it, then we know that we're dealing with real material. And since he is a firsthand witness, and I just deal with firsthand witnesses, Clark has been telling information about what he knows slowly. And there's a piece about his conversation with Barry Goldwater in my brand new book called Exopolitics, How Does One Speak to a Ball of Light? Which is a strange title.
I love it. Well, as you know, a couple weeks ago, as I had Richard Hoagland on the program, we talked about how NASA has admitted that there's going to be an investigation underway because a lot of information was not disseminated to us about things. We don't know what those things were.
Right.
All we know is we never found out about them. And it just makes you very suspect, Paula and Robert, about everything now that might not be coming out of that organization.
Well, I think there's a lot. Richard always told me, Richard Hoagland is very wise, by the way. He's a very good friend, but he's also one of the wisest people I know.
Well, he's one of the guys where you say, a wise man once say, and it's Richard that we're quoting.
Well, a wise man once said to me, Paula, there is a battle within NASA. There is a battle within the government. There's a battle within MJ-12 for the truth to come out, that it's time for the truth to come out. And I think Richard believes, as I believe, that there are groups of people that think, hey, it's about time that this come out. And Richard follows this because I know Richard personally, and he's got a lot to contribute to this whole entire subject. But NASA is definitely involved. But you have to ask why these people don't want to talk now, or why is it being hidden now? And it's not about the aliens. It's about the technology.
And Robert, Paula is illustrated and highlighted in the Fast Walkers DVD.
She does a great job. I want to thank her so much for going on camera and talking with us, and all the great work she's doing out there, both in Italy and worldwide. She's a wonderful reporter and a great, great light worker.
Great. Paula, thank you for being on the program. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you, George.
And you have a wonderful holiday and a super new year as well. So, Robert, do you still make these trips to Jupiter?
You know, I wished I did. It's not something that I can do at will, or I guess maybe you have to get the e-ticket. Maybe I'll get bonus points, George, after this program, right?
Well, if you do, I want those frequent flyer miles. I want to go.
No kidding. I mean, I recommend it to anyone that gets a chance. There were a bunch of other people at that briefing, and I think it's important that if you were at that briefing, get a hold of me.
Well,
my emails,
I wish I were at the briefing, Robert. You got to arrange it for me if they come back for you.
I'll do it, George.
Stay with us. Up next, Alfred Weber. He is an expert on exopolitics and UFOs. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.